T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Pete Butek of collegefootballnews.com is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Pete, how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
I'm doing just fine. How you guys been? I'm sorry about the Indians and all that. I'm sure it's been a rough ride for a couple days for you guys there.
You say that a little. It sounds like you're being a little sarcastic.
Not even a little bit. No, I get it. It stinks. I do enjoy the Cubs. I'm not a diehard, but it stinks when, like, there's no baseball anymore and it all just kind of ends. No, there's no sarcasm. It's you know, baseball's over now. Who cares at this point?
Well, it's not over, but it's over for us as fans.
And thankfully, Baker Mayfield is setting the town on fire. So
that's right.
It's taking our minds sort of off of the Indians for a little while.
You've got that. It is weird because baseball is becoming, like college football, just tribal. Because nobody really watches national games. It is really about just being involved with your team more than any other sport other than college football. And it's, you know, amazing how this is kind of working out that way.
I can't remember what you – did you like Baker? You liked Baker, didn't you, coming out of college?
No, I didn't. You know what? And it's what's happening now is look at the shift that's going on when it comes to the college football world and how it's translating to the pro side, where before you could just kind of say, you know what, I didn't like Baker. I'm a heightist. I admit it. You know, fine, okay, Drew Brees is the all-time leading passer. That's the outlier. But for the most part, give me the 6'5", you know, 230 guy who's got about 20 games of college experience and is good, not necessarily Josh Allen. And as it's turning out, you read the room, you know, look at the NFL right now, throw out the teams with the rookies, cause they're just getting started, and give, you know, the Niners a free pass because they had Garoppolo. Where's the bad quarterback? I mean, where's the truly epically awful, I mean, Ryan Tannehill, he's all right. You know, Blake Bortles, he's fine enough. And so if you're looking at the college game, these guys are coming into the league ready to roll, whether it's Baker, whether it's Sam Darnold doing all right. Deshaun was great last year. Now you've got another wave coming up with Ryan Finley, Drew Locke, Will Greer, you know, Justin Herbert. This is a golden age of quarterbacks who can just complete mid-range passes, and Baker has been fantastic at doing that, and he's obviously been great so far.
Let's do a little quiz here for you, Mr. Futek. You ready?
Okay, fine.
Test your college football knowledge out. Actually, I'd be super impressed if you remember this. You shouldn't know that. You shouldn't know. No one should know this unless you're an Ohio State fan. When was the last time Minnesota beat Ohio State?
I might be missing this up with Penn State. Billy Cockerham, I think that's a Penn State win. So I will say this. I grew up in Minneapolis. I'm going to say 1981, I was at a game where they beat Ohio State. I could be wrong. It could be 82 or so. So I'm just going to just flat out say I'm going all over the place. I'm going to say it's the game I was at in Old Memorial Stadium in either 1981 or 82.
All right, so you're wrong, and here's when it happened. 2000, this was the start of the demise for John Cooper. Ohio State, they were sixth in the country, and they lost 29-17 at home on October 14th, 2000. So 18 years ago is when the last time the Gophers beat the Buckeyes, and I don't think it's going to happen.
I was still in my 20s.
I don't think it's going to happen this week.
I would be shocked. I mean, that you might talk about just utterly shocking losses. I don't know how Minnesota moves the ball. I mean, never since Rodney Smith got hurt, they don't have a running game anymore. And, you know, speaking of, you know, walk-on quarterbacks of Baker Mayfield, Zach Anikstad is not Baker Mayfield. And if at some point it's like, oh, it's a cute story. Look, Minnesota's starting a true freshman walk-on. Yeah, but he's a true freshman walk-on, and there's no passing game. Mm-hmm. So you can't go through the motions ever in the Big Ten, but Ohio State just should come out, get up by 20 right away, and just coast from there.
All right, let's not waste our time on the boring games in the Big Ten where Ohio State's going to spank. Let's talk about the best game in the Big Ten this week, Rutgers and Maryland. I can't wait to watch. I am locked and loaded for Rutgers. No, Seriously,
speaking
we got
Wisconsin. I was way wrong about. Look across the college.
Yeah, Rutgers is the worst, Pete.
But yeah, find a coach who's truly on a I will be fired hot seat. Chris Ash is one of the few. I thought this was the year Rutgers was actually going to be okay, where they were going to have enough of an offense and easy enough schedule. If you look at their schedule, they should be in the inverse almost of what they are right now. They're just got no offense, nothing's happening. And meanwhile, Maryland keep kind of chugging along. They'll end up in a bowl game, and they've been all right.
You know, it's funny. I was going to say the best games, obviously Wisconsin, Michigan, and Michigan State, Penn State. But in terms of point spreads, Iowa, Indiana, and Nebraska, Northwestern are the two best games. But people are not that interested. Let's talk about Michigan.
Nebraska is my pick of the week, by the way.
Oh, it is?
Upset, I think they're overdue. I just don't like this Northwestern. There's my upset pick of the week for you, by
the way.
I like
that, Pete.
I keep interrupting you with the games that are out there.
Should Michigan be favored by – are you surprised they're favored by 9.5 over Wisconsin?
Yeah, on principle alone. I mean, Wisconsin's defense hasn't shown up yet. I mean, it's been okay, but their second – it was the Achilles heel coming into the season where – if you look at this Wisconsin team and say, okay, the offense is going to be better. It might have the best offensive line in the country. At least it's in the top five. Jonathan Taylor's great. Alex Hornibrook, he's got his issues, but he's been around for forever, and he's good enough. The receiving core is better. The defensive front is fine. T.J. Edwards is back. But, that secondary that loses Nick Nelson and three other starters, that could be an issue. And as you saw against Nebraska last week, and even the thing that was a little bit alarming was the New Mexico game, where I know the Badgers won in just a blowout, but they were moving the ball until the starting quarterback got knocked out with a concussion. This is a game where if you're Michigan, this is why you have Shea Patterson. This is the game where he has to just rip apart this Badger secondary and go off. But to your point, I can't give Wisconsin 9.5 ever, even against Michigan. Even if it was against Ohio State, I would pick Ohio State. But that's just a lot of points to give away to a team that realistically on the right day can probably hang with just about anybody.
Pete, I'm curious your thoughts on if Notre Dame wins out, can they will they for sure get in the college football playoff?
I'm on the wrong side of this. On the theoretical aspect where if you remember how the college football playoff committee has rolled over the last 2 years, and if they're really in on the four best team theory, which is how, Ohio State got in 2 years ago and Alabama got in last year, I don't know if Notre Dame's a lock at 12-0, and here's why. If Ohio State goes, I know this works out, and I know it just doesn't work out this way, but if Ohio State goes 13-0, which isn't a crazy thought, they're in no matter what. If Clemson goes 13-0, and which isn't crazy because their schedule is easy, which is that they're in no matter what. The SEC champion, if it's 13-0, goes in as the number one seed. What happens if, let's say, both Georgia and Alabama finish the season 12-1? How do you say, okay, you know what, Notre Dame, you're 12-0, but you didn't have to play a conference championship game. You're better than 12-1 Georgia. You're better than 12-1 Alabama. I don't know if they're necessarily getting in. Now, I do think they're losing. I think they're going to lose somewhere along the way, either at USC at the end of the rainbow. They could lose to Syracuse in Yankee Stadium. They still have to deal with Boston College. Florida State could show up in South Bend and come up with something. But if they go 12-0, they're probably in. We know how this all works out historically. But on a theoretical four best team level, I'm not quite there.
We're talking with Pete Futek, College Football News. When you're talking about these other teams going undefeated, Pete, who is the least likely? Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, least likely to go undefeated?
I would say Clemson because they're just shaky enough where, if you can come that close to losing to Syracuse, you can come that close to losing to a slew of teams. And they could lose to a Miami in an ACC championship game. Second on that, watch out. I still say Georgia is on that list, too. I got destroyed by Feinbaum listeners when I suggested earlier this year that Florida could have a shot at Georgia. They have a shot at Georgia. I mean, you see what happens in weird rivalry games like Oklahoma-Texas. Well, that cocktail party-ish thing could absolutely go Florida's way. They could have a problem with LSU. Tech, you know, Georgia Tech's option offense goes off on, again, I think this is the term, but on the right day, if Georgia Tech's option offense works, Georgia could lose a game, if not two. And Ohio State, okay, you're not going to – Michigan is eventually going to win one of these games. Michigan State is weird sometimes. It could lose games like it lost to Northwestern and rise up. But I don't think Ohio State's losing along the way, at least if it's playing like it's been playing. So to answer your question, I'm going to go Clemson 1, Georgia 2 on that.
Okay.
Pete Futek, actually a good game tonight, this TCU-Texas Tech game. Is this – like, if here's my question. Like, there have been no big wins, right, for Texas Tech. Does Cliff Kingsbury need this win for his job?
They beat somebody. Off the top of my head, I think they just destroyed Oklahoma State, I think. I mean, Oklahoma State's not great this year,
not
but
great.
At least that's a win. They just have to go bowling. You know, they love him down there, and the offense is working. I mean, think of the positive things that are going for Texas Tech right now, at the least of which being Pat Mahomes is the superstar of superstars in the NFL at the immediate moment. That's a Cliff Kingsbury production, and that, at the very least, gives the program, hey, this is the coach who kind of helped Pat Mahomes become this. The offense is working. It's doing what they want to do. They're at least competitive. They can't go 5-7 this year or else there's a big problem. If they just get to a bowl game, they're fine. But let's see what TCU's got. I mean, for all the, you know, TCU hung around with Ohio State, but they haven't really been that great all this year. So let's see if we can hang around with this offense.
Hey, Pete, Texas, you mentioned them briefly before.
Texas is back, baby.
Somehow they lost to Maryland, right? They've beaten TCU. They beat Oklahoma. They beat USC. You know, maybe TCU and USC are not as good as we thought, maybe. But still impressive
good
after
win.
All the
Those
struggles in recent years. Now they'll play Baylor this week. Is Texas back? Are they a legit second-tier team?
Yeah, they're back is relative. They're not back to being where they were at the height of the Mack Brown era in terms of just talent, where you had just NFL guys all across the board. That's coming. So Tom Herman is getting the talent in there with the recruiting classes. What it's doing, though, is tackling, which is really weird because Charlie Strong's teams, whether at Louisville or now at South Florida, were really good. I mean, those teams were solid teams that kept winning. But they just were not physical. And so if you want to look at where Texas fell off and what needed the most building was on their line. They just weren't physical enough. And you saw that in the second half of the Oklahoma game where, all right, this game is starting to turn a certain way. That offensive line came out and bashed, and especially on that final drive when they had to put the game away and get to Cameron Dicker, the freshman kicker. Their offensive line was just better. So I don't think – I think Texas is losing again along the way. That was a rise up and rock sort of moment for them. I don't want to say they're back in the national championship sort of way, but, yeah, they can get to the Big 12 championship. They could beat West Virginia along the way. They've got a lot of tough games to deal with, but at least they're relevant again. And you know what? Makes the Big 12 more fun when Texas is good.
Yeah, who has a better name for a kicker than Cameron Dicker, the kicker?
Cameron Dicker, the kicker. That's
awesome.
There's
a guy for Pitt.
Sounds like a dirty limerick.
Yeah, there's a guy for Pitt like 2 years ago. I want to say his name was Chris Blewett, which for a kicker was a little bit bizarre.
He hit the kick against Clemson.
Yeah. So every once in a while you get guys like that who – but that's just a fantastic, fantastic Texas name.
Yeah. It's not for a kicker, but Ohio State – I mean, Tough Borland.
That's a good name.
That's a great football
Tough
name.
Tough Borland, come on.
Absolutely. It's fantastic no matter where you are on a football
right.
field. No problem, no question.
All right, Pete, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Pete.
Thanks.
Have a good one, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.